You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous, gorgeous place we call Earth. Some of you are listening for the first time, or maybe you've tuned in to our internet TV channel and you're watching. But it's your first time here. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you make a habit out of it. It's a great habit to get into. Lots of people around this planet have the habit, I can tell you. All right, let me ask you a question. What do you think about this whole concept of synchronicity? Now, a lot of people think that there really is no such thing as synchronicity. They think it's just coincidence. Things happen that seem to be related unexpectedly. Strange things sometimes. But a lot of people think, well, it's just a coincidence. Other people think, of course, there's no such thing as a coincidence. And they think that these events are representative of synchronicity. And they think they see a definite pattern. And there's just too much of a pattern for it to be coincidence. Well, my guest tonight have written a book that deals with the whole idea of synchronicity as it applies to a particular number. Now, they talk about synchronicity in general as well, but there's a particular number that keeps coming up associated with some fairly outstanding events in people's lives and some rather outstanding and ominous events that we would classify as a world event, things that we all know about, things that we have seen on the news. My guests this evening will be Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. Both are well known in the paranormal community as paranormal researchers, writers, investigators. Marie has been involved with science, metaphysics, and the paranormal, in one way or another, most of her life. She is the author of a highly popular and highly regarded book called Science, spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E, Science, How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena. She is also the author of a book called 2013, End of Days or a New Beginning, Envisioning the World After the Events of 2012. She has worked as a field investigator for MUFON in Los Angeles and San Diego back in the 1980s and 1990s. She also co-founded MUFON North County and currently serves as a consultant to ARPAST, the Arkansas Paranormal and Anomalous Studies Team. Her background also includes over 15 years in the entertainment industry as a promotions assistant for Warner Brothers Records, film production assistant, and script reader for a variety of film and cable TV companies. And she has produced several nationally distributed direct-to-video projects, including an award-winning children's storybook video. Larry Flaxman is a highly trained and well-regarded expert in the field of internet and information technology. He's the president and senior researcher for Our Past, and he founded that back in February 2007. We'll join Marie and Larry for an interesting conversation about this fascinating new book in just a moment. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests this evening, as I said, are Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. Marie has been with us before. A couple of times, I think. I know for sure once, but I think a long time ago, maybe another time. Larry is appearing here this evening with us for the very first time. Marie and Larry, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Definitely, thank you.
Okay, Larry, you're going to have to speak really into your phone. We're barely picking you up. But let me ask you this now, and that's partially, I'm sure, for some of the adjustments we made here today. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You sound great.
Okay.
I can hear you too. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Sometimes when you move equipment around, it gets out of adjustment, and apparently that happened, and our guests last night said they could barely hear me, so... All right. Let's begin with this. You guys have written this book entitled 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. And by the way, let me just hold a copy of the book up where people can see it. That's it. And it is a fascinating book. It's a mind bender, but a fascinating book. And let's just begin with asking one of you or both of you to describe what you mean by time prompt phenomenon.
Well, I guess I'll start. Basically, the time prompt phenomenon involves people seeing the same time or waking up at the same time over and over again, more than just two or three times. So it becomes something that they really start to take notice of. And 1111 seems to be the most popular time prompt that we've heard about. We've heard a lot of incredible stories from people all over the world waking up at 1111 p.m. every night, or not just that, but noticing 1111 on the clock anytime they happen to look at a clock, maybe 1111 in the morning. And then also seeing it in other ways, too, on billboards and signs and outs and... Just it always seems to be turning up, and we wanted to try to understand what this phenomenon was.
Why is 1111 turning up, and why is that number important?
Well, I'll answer that. It's actually not just the number 1111. What we're seeing is basically any type of when we refer to a time prompt, we're actually referring to any sequence or series of numbers that keep reoccurring. It seems that 1111 is probably one of the more common sequences of numbers that people will experience, but it can actually be anything. There's many people that will experience the numbers, you know, 202, 404, 222. It's really more about the sequence or the synchronicity type aspect of the numbers rather than the numbers themselves.
Okay, but why would we not just assume this is it's just coincidence? For instance, if I wake up at 2:22 every morning, could that not be a function of going to bed at the same time every night?
It sure could, and
it could. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of the theories that we looked at. I just want to add in that with the 1111, the reason why that took some importance is because there is a link with the enigmatic coming year of 2012. And 1111 is the time that the winter solstice is supposed to begin and usher in that new era that we were supposed to be experiencing on that particular day in 2012. So that's where we believe the 1111 sort of gained popularity from. But we did look at two different theories. One, is this our own brain looking for patterns and creating habit and patterns on its own, or is this some kind of exterior influence that is causing people to see the same sequence of numbers over and over again? Is it a sort of exterior wake-up call or prompt, something telling people to pay attention? And we found, interestingly, a lot of evidence for both theories.
Okay, well, let's talk about the possibility that it's an exterior influence. Where would this exterior influence be coming from? What is generating it, or who is generating it? What's that all about?
Oh, there's several theories now on that as well, and some of them become a little more metaphysical. You've got people talking about how they feel they're being prompted by their higher wisdom, their spirit guides, angels, relatives who have passed away who are trying to sort of say hello and remind them that they're there. But also, Larry and I are firm believers in the concept that where there is a level of connectedness, whether you want to call it the zero-point field, or we like to refer to it as a grid of interconnectedness, that these time prompts could be coming from. The sort of a collective unconscious could be acting here to trigger some kind of awakening in people, and that would be the exterior. But the interior is a whole different ball game. We're talking about the brain and how the brain likes to create pattern. And I can let Larry talk a little bit about that.
Okay, Larry?
Well, absolutely. One of the innate built-in capabilities of our brain is to conduct pattern recognition. If you've ever looked up in the sky on a cloudy day and you've seen clouds floating by, undoubtedly you've seen an image of something that looks familiar to you. You've probably seen an image of a sailboat, perhaps, or of a person, or whatever it is. You see that in the clouds, and what's occurring is a phenomenon called pareidolia, or matrixing, which is basically your brain is finding a recognizable pattern from that. And really, that phenomenon dates back to earliest days of mankind, when it was a survival mechanism where we needed to be able to discern friend from foe. In other words, we had to determine what was a friendly critter and what was a not-so-friendly critter. So the pattern recognition, as Marie had alluded to, it's something that's very, very common, and it's something that is built into every one of us. It's a part of us, and it's something that we have all probably experienced at one time or another. I know from a paranormal perspective, what we do in the, quote, ghost hunting world, a lot of what people have interpreted to be paranormal phenomena is simply nothing more than matrixing or pareidolia.
Okay, so then as we have all these various events, people waking up at the same night, same time every night, and various other events happening with some type of number pattern in it. I mean, what is to say that that's not what's taking place? Pattern recognition. What's to say that that's not what's taking place as opposed to some type of prompt?
What I think really surprised Larry and I when we started working on this book is the sheer volume of reports from all over the world that we came across of people that felt so strongly that these time prompts led to a series of synchronicities or some type of event that they felt had profound meaning. Now, some people have had time prompts and nothing has happened. They think of them as an annoyance. But there were just way too many where people said, I felt like I was trying to be told something, and then later that day this happened, and then this happened, and blah, blah, blah. Those stories were so common that we started to realize there's something going on here. You know, whether it's an exterior event, an interior influence, or a little bit of both, there definitely seemed to be something more to the story than just people looking at a clock over and over again at the same time, surely, you know, by coincidence.
All right. I want to share something from your book with folks, and This will give you a little bit of a feeling for a world event, a big event, and the synchronicity of the number 11 being associated with it.
Right.
All right. So pull up a chair and prop up your feet, because This is a kind of a long list here, but I want you to hear this. All right, the number of stories or floors in each World Trade Center building was 110 and 110. Remember that zero equals zero, so you add the two numbers, or you put the two numbers side by side, and what you get is 11, 11. There were 21,800 windows in those trade centers. So if you add 21800, add that all that together, 2 plus 1 plus 8 plus 0 plus 0 equals 11. The first plane to impact the towers was Flight 11. The phone number for American Airlines is 1-800-245-0999. So if you take all those numbers in the phone number and add them together, they equal 11. The state of New York was the 11th state added to the Union. New York City has 11 letters in it. Flight 11 had 92 people on board. If you add 9 and 2, you get 11. 11. Flight 11 had 11 crew members. Flight 77 had 65 people on board. Add 6 plus 5, and you get 11. The Flight 11 call letters were AA11. And I think folks are familiar with turning the alphabet into numbers. A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, so forth. So AA would be 1111 and Flight 11. So you have 1111. The suspected base for the terrorists is Afghanistan, and that has 11 letters in it. Osama bin Laden's birthplace is Saudi Arabia, which has 11 letters. On September 7th, 2002, New York City medical examiners announced the revised official death toll from the World Trade Center, from the attacks, and the death toll was 2,801. If you add those together, 2 plus 8 plus 0 plus 1, you get 11. And then Uri Geller pointed this out. The date of the attack is 9-1-1, so if you add 9 plus 1 plus 1, you get 11. 119 is the area code to Iraq, Iran. If you add 1, 1, and 9, you get 11. Names that have 11 letters. Air Force One, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Saudi Arabia, Colin Powell. Afghanistan, as we mentioned, has 11 letters. And the Pentagon has 11 letters. Also, there were 19 hijackers. So if you add that up, you get 10. One plane was a 767. If you add that up, you get 20. One plane was a 757. You add that up, you get 19. And then Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. both have 12 letters. So, but the thing with the 11 is just phenomenal. There's a long, long list of 11s.
There were. It's very spooky. And even though, yes, there are a lot of things involving 9/11 that didn't add up to 11, just the fact that there were so many that did really gave it a very otherworldly element. Like, perhaps this happened for a much higher reason than any of us really know. And it's just really interesting that the number 11 has... The thing is, though, if you take it all the way... Like, if you're a numerologist and you take that all the way to the end result, you would add up 1 and 1 and you would get 2. So, again, it's a lot of interpretation. Are we going to stop at 11? Are we going to take it all the way to the master number and add the 1 and 1 and get 2? But, yeah, it is definitely spooky. There are way too many things there to be just sheer coincidence.
You have a story in your book about a lady that, I believe it was a lady, but the person woke up and night after night, but was in a state of sort of sleep paralysis. But when she was finally able to open her eyes, she could see it was 11:11 at night.
Yes.
And then one night, she was able to force her eyes open. It was 11:11, and she saw a sort of dark, shadowy figure at the foot of her bed. She said that she wasn't really afraid, but she said, "Who are you?" And after some silence, this figure said, "Your guardian spirit," and then vanished, and she hasn't seen it again.
There were a lot of stories like that where people felt that they were in the presence of something that was benevolent. We found very little negatives to this whole phenomenon. We only came across, I think, a couple of stories where somebody said they felt something evil was in the room when they saw 11:11, or that something bad happened because of it. But a lot of the people that gave us their stories, people now that email us with their stories, a lot of them are absolutely convinced that they're being contacted by something or someone from the other side, quote-unquote, every time they see the time prompt. And again, it's not always 11:11 for some of these people. It could be 2:22 every night or 3:33.
In your book, you talk about Pythagoras, you have a section on that, a Mysterium Magnum, Fibonacci. I mean, you really get into numbers and patterns a lot in this book. You even have one here, one section that deals with 666, and I think a lot of people are familiar with that. What's the deal with 666?
Larry, you want to take that one?
Well, 666 is obviously, you know, it has ramifications in religious circles as being the number of the beast, but there's a lot to it. 666 is King James had trans. There's some stuff in the King James Bible that talks about it. There's things in the Greek manuscripts that talk about it. There's many interpretations of it. Some people have said that it's the Antichrist. Some people have said that it represents Nero. Some people have said that that the numbers really all add up to a numeric value for a word. There's lots and lots of things that is possible with it. But how do we know that it's actually not just again, as we looked at the other numbers, just a coincidence, or just, you know, something that's really not a horrible sounding thing.
The Chinese believe that that is a very lucky sequence of numbers. They actually believe it means things are going well. So it's all about interpretation. And the Bible is full of numerological references. So that number is entirely symbolic, and we may not necessarily have an understanding of what it is a symbol for. We're trying to apply it to a person that is recognizable, but maybe it was a symbol of evil in a grander, broader sense. It's just interesting that other countries have different ideas about even the number 13. A lot of people think it's unlucky. There's a lot of people that think it's a very blessed, holy number.
You know, it's interesting. My producer and I had a discussion about Friday the 13th today.
Yeah.
And one of those synchronicities there. But prior to the King of France rounding up all the Templars on a Friday, which happened to be the 13th, it was pretty universally seen as a lucky number.
Exactly.
And since that event, it has been seen as an unlucky number.
And ironically enough, with our economy failing, you know, 13 is all over our $1 bill. I mean, there's 13 steps on the pyramid, 13 stars on the eagle's head, 13 stripes on the shield. So obviously the Masons, who supposedly had a lot to do with the founding of this country, and they thought that that was a very positive, lucky number. But you're absolutely right. All it takes is one event to tarnish a number.
Yeah.
A break is taking over. We'll get into what I was about to ask when we come back. Folks, we'll be back right after this. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests are Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. And we're talking about this whole thing about synchronicity and does it exist? And if it does, where is it coming from? We were talking about numbers before we went to break. And one of the things that I was just about to say, we were talking about people viewing numbers as lucky or unlucky. It's amazing to me how many people there are, religious and non-religious, who will say they don't believe in that stuff, and then still will avoid doing certain things on Friday the 13th, and still have an affinity for 7 as a lucky number. Where does that come from?
You mean where does the lucky 7 come from, or just the silly human behavior?
the silly human behavior.
The silly human behavior comes from, I think, people just not, you know, it's like, well, I don't believe that, but I'm not going to take my chances just in case, because I've done it too. I'm guilty of that too. I think we all are. But 7 is a very lucky number to some people because of the connotations that it has in the Old and New Testament. It's found in a lot of religious texts. It's supposed to represent perfection. And interestingly, one of the theories of why 666 is supposed to represent evil is that if 7 is the number of perfection, then 6 falls just short of perfection. And when you triple it, you're intensifying the imperfection as opposed to 777, which would be intensifying the perfection. So again, it's just all this symbolic stuff. But number 7 in the Torah, the Kabbalah, in the Old and New Testament, in Islam, it's everywhere. And it represents a lot of real holy days and rituals and events. So the 7 lucked out. What can you say?
Okay, now, let's run with this just a little bit. 6, if 7 is perfection, 6 falls just short of perfection, but it's still pretty darn good.
It's pretty close. But, you know, they refer to the story of Lucifer, who was the most beautiful angel, and his vanity is what caused his fall from grace, his ego. So I really think that the idea of 666 is sort of the ego on acid, you know. It just means something that falls short of perfection, and maybe not necessarily this monstrous beast who eats small children that many people refer to the Antichrist as.
All right, Larry, I have a question for you, because you're a professional in information technology.
Right.
You also have developed some databases that are considered to be the supreme databases. You are the developer of Paratracker software for documenting data from paranormal investigations. You also use, I don't know if you developed it or if you simply use it, but the SOCIUS, I guess that's SOCIUS, is considered one of the most comprehensive databases in the field. The point is, whether you develop them or use them, you have to go in and do quite a bit of mathematics to make these things work. I know, because I write the databases myself, and I develop them for my own purposes, my own uses here, and they're not small, they're rather sophisticated. So you get into doing a lot of pretty intricate formula writing to make these things work. That means that you deal with numbers all the time. As you dealt with this topic, did you become convinced that there is some sort of exterior prompting going on, or did you come away from this with the conviction that it's all coincidence?
Wow, that's kind of that's a little bit of a loaded question.
Yeah, it's 12 gauge.
Just, yeah, right for the between the eyes. You know, I don't think I really came away from everything with a strong belief that it goes one way or the other. I think it can actually be a little bit of both possibly an external influence as well as possibly an internal influence. You know, I think we see a lot of situations where, and especially within the paranormal world, psychology can really be a very powerful explanatory agent for many, many things. Whether that's coming from within us, whether that's coming from external to us, you know, regardless, it's a very powerful thing that influences one's belief. Now, what that brings to mind is several things. One is the brain a creator of consciousness and reality, or is it simply a receiver? And by saying that, in other words, is our brain acting as a radio receiver and we're simply pulling things out of the airwaves, and that's what's influencing our decisions and what's influencing our beliefs? There's lots of its and bits and bytes floating around. I mean, you see every day, you know, every second of the day, there's radio transmissions that are floating around, there's cell phone transmissions that are floating around, things that you can't hear normally, but you know it's all around you, and if you had a proper reception mechanism, you can pick it up. If you have a radio, you turn it to the right frequency, bang, you can hear the Kevin Smith Show. So are the numbers, or in our belief in those numbers, coming from outside and we're simply tuning in somehow to them, or are they actually being created within us? And again, I really don't have a solid belief either way, because I think there's a possibility of both going on.
Well, let me throw something out for the two of you to mull over and perhaps comment on. And based on what you just said, you asked the question, does our brain create consciousness, or is it a receiver? And it tunes into consciousness that's all around us. Based on the work of Dr. Gerald Epling over in the Dallas area, I think that his work, in my opinion, has definitively proven that consciousness exists. It is. It just is. And it has nothing to do with whether what our brains do. Consciousness just is. And here's how he did it. He has been able scientifically to prove that plants react to our thoughts, not just to, you know, there are all these experiments about play music for them or talk to them and so forth. But his experiments have had to do with plants reacting to thought.
Uh-huh.
And they do react, and he's been able to scientifically measure that and graph it. And so it's not just he supposes the plants react to thought. If a plant can react to thought, it is reacting to consciousness without a brain. It has no brain. And so consciousness, it has some other way of receiving and reacting to consciousness.
Right.
It may not have a brain in the manner that we understand, but perhaps, yes, perhaps it does have a reception mechanism.
Well, it would have to have some reception mechanism. And what I'm saying is I'm not so sure that our brains really are the receiver with consciousness. I think our brains may be the interpreter.
That's a good point. And, you know, again, you have Emoto's experimentation with water crystals.
Absolutely.
Where they responded to the thoughts of people, negative and positive thoughts. And yes, the brain could indeed just be a tool by which we interpret what we interpret reality, we interpret consciousness. But there's a lot of research coming out that really is showing that consciousness is separate from the brain, from mind, that we're talking about two separate things. But I do tend to believe that in the case of humans, we really use the brain to create meaning from whatever our consciousness is being exposed to.
Well, Dr. Epling is his primary research is memory, human memory. He's an expert in memory. And he said that we know just about everything about memory except where it is stored. He said it is not stored in the brain. And he said the brain works kind of like a CPU, but we don't know where the hard drive is, where it's stored.
Where the hard drive is.
Kevin, I just read something yesterday, as a matter of fact, about a group of Japanese researchers that have been able to basically image visual portions of the brain. In other words, they have found portions of the brain that store visual memory, and they're able to somehow retrieve those visual memories. They showed some images of it. It was very, very simplistic. It was black and white, not very clearly defined. But they're able to pull out those visual images out of the brain and actually display them on a computer. So it was almost like, you know, being able to visually see what somebody is thinking at that time. So very, very fascinating. And I think that ties in very closely with what you're talking about.
Well, let's assume that consciousness exists. It just is. It's out all around us. We're living in a complete soup. We're submerged in consciousness. Some people seem to be more receptive to it than others.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Now, could it be that the people who are taking or who are having these synchronistic time prompts, could it be that these people are more receptive to consciousness than other people around them? Is that a possibility for explaining what's going on here?
I would say absolutely. Just as there are people that are more intuitive, there are people that are more, well, psychic, if you want to use that word. I think that everybody has the ability, but as with any gift or talent, whether it be singing or working with wood, some people are going to be better at it than others. But yes, these particular people may have something within their own personal consciousness that allows them to link into that collective field, you know, that greater consciousness. But a lot of people said that they got the prompts over and over again and didn't quite get it until later. So again, I think it's possible for anybody to become more intuitive, more tuned in, and more connected. It just takes longer for some people than other, and then some people never will. And I think we know who those people are because they're the ones that are destroying the world.
Absolutely. Kevin, let me add this too. When we were doing our research for the book, both Marie and myself have had these experiences. We've had time prompt experiences throughout our life, but we really never paid very much attention to it. At least I know I didn't. I would have the 11-11 phenomena happen to me, and every time it happened, I would just think, oh, you know, it's 11-11 again. I didn't see any type of latent meaning to it. To me, it was more of an annoyance, as Marie had discussed before. So perhaps people are experiencing these things, but very much like I was before I was really made aware that this is a...
Yeah, just not noticing it. It's kind of like, you know, when before you buy a red car, you don't even notice them, but after you buy a red car, you see everybody's driving red cars. We have to take a break. We'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guests, Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. Larry, when the break took over, you were explaining how, synchronicities, time prompts were happening, but you were not paying attention to them. And then once you got started into this, you started paying attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's probably a very widespread occurrence. I think this is probably happening to a lot more people than you would realize. And when Marie and myself were doing the initial research for the book, we thought, you know, at first we thought, you know, this is going to be hard to find information about. We're probably, you know, one of very few people that have had this type of experience. And then as we started to talk to more people, we started to put the feelers out there. We started to find that this is actually a very universal, very widespread phenomena, that there are people that are experiencing time prompts of various types all over the place. I mean, throughout every walk of life, every religious belief, every age, every sex, people are having these experiences. And very much like myself, a lot of people just kind of write it off. They believe that it's really more of an inconvenience, or it's simply, you know, luck, it's coincidence, there's really nothing to it. So yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot more people that are probably having this that really don't read any type of secondary meaning into it at all. They think it's really just more of a coincidental event.
All right. Now, you talked about, I think, Marie, you talked about seven just appearing in all cultures and religions as being a very positive number. What about 11? What seems to be the meaning of this 11?
We didn't find a whole lot on the number 11, other than it is considered, I guess, a Mason master number. The connection, again, came entirely from the 2012 phenomenon, which we all know is on the winter solstice of December 21st, 2012, the Mayan long count calendar ends, and of course there's a lot of predictions and prophecies associated with that. And, you know, the U.S. Naval Observatory on their website has documented that the winter solstice that day will begin precisely at 11:11 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So I guess we could say that the 2012 interest began the 11:11 phenomenon. But this is, you know, again, we found people that said, oh, you know, my mom had 11/11s show up 30 years ago, and oh, this happened to me 20 years ago. This isn't a recent thing, but it definitely seems to be increasing the closer we get to 2012. Now, I think some of that is because of the internet. You've got forums now where people can go on and talk about their stories. And again, perhaps other people start to see 11/11 after they've heard about other people seeing it. I know for a fact that I never saw 11/11 until I wrote this book, and now I see it all the time. So there's a little something going on there with the brain. My son sees it all the time now. So I think the internet has really helped to spread that particular number sequence in popularity.
Okay, well, would that mean then that there's really nothing to this, more than just sort of an urban legend kind of thing, or?
It could be, but it could also be that, you know, if there is a higher intelligence out there, perhaps, and again, this is a theory that we ran across, that it is trying to alert people and wake up enough people to what the challenges are that might be coming. Because if we're not focused on the present moment, I don't know how we're going to rise up to the occasion if something catastrophic does happen. So that's the idea, that we're being prompted to wake up. People always say the same thing when they talk about time prompt phenomenons. I felt like it was telling me to pay attention. Those two words are always repeated, pay attention. To what? It could be something personal. It could be something collective that we'll find out on that particular day.
All right, let's assume that on 11/11, December 21, 2012, that something cataclysmic, catastrophic happens worldwide. I think you and I have talked about this before. I personally, it could happen. Anything could happen. But I don't think so. I think it's going to be just another day. I don't think there's going to be a planet buster happen that day.
I agree.
Yeah,
it's
definitely
going to be another Y2K, and I wrote a book on it, and I agree. I agree with you.
But I could be wrong. There are a lot of very...
The superstition, you know, you may say, well, I don't believe in that, but you just don't want to take your chances.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of very serious-minded people who are involved with remote viewing that say it's going to be a planet buster. So let's just assume for a moment that they are right and that we are wrong, that I'm wrong, you're wrong, and it's going to be a really cataclysmic event. Let's assume that for the sake of discussion.
Okay. Well,
how does me being prompted, how does me being prompted with 11/11 I wake up every night and I see 11:11 is the time. How does that help me get ready for something that I don't even know what's going to happen?
Exactly. It's a mystery. Now, some people will say that if you pay close attention when these time prompts happen, you'll notice you'll have more synchronicities throughout the day or the following weeks or whatever that will lead, make you feel like you're being led along a path, like you're making the right choices. You know, maybe this is all meant to lead us towards our destinies. But the biggest theory of all involving 11:11 is the exact reverse of that. The idea is that at that moment in time, our junk DNA, which is the DNA that we don't quite still know what it does, is going to be triggered, and we are going to become these transformed creatures of higher consciousness. So that's the good part of it. But if it's going to be an earth-shattering, cataclysmic, life-ending disaster, I would rather not be prompted. Just, you know, let me enjoy the next 3 years, and then whatever happens, happens. It makes more sense in terms of if we're being prepared to be raised in consciousness, we need to get in the present moment. We need to start paying attention. What's not working in my life? What is working? So I see it as something that is probably more of a positive thing. Larry, you might disagree with me.
Yeah, Larry, what do you think?
I totally do agree. I think the exact same.
Well, here's what I hope. I hope if that theory is correct and our DNA switches on, I hope that either that causes all my hair to grow back or makes all of yours fall out.
I'm hoping maybe I'll become 3 inches taller. I think that would be great. Can we put our orders in?
You know, when I used to work overseas, I worked in really challenging environments. A lot of times there was water rationing and things like that. And so I kept my head shaved. It just takes a lot less water to wash your hair when you have none.
Exactly, and a lot less time.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
My little boy, my youngest one, who now is 5 years old, when he was two, kept saying I looked like a Buddha man. So I let it grow back out, what would grow out, but most of it won't. Well, look, synchronicity. I think if you couple coincidences, almost everyone will say, yeah, I've had some real strange coincidences in my life. And you couple that with those moments of deja vu.
Right.
It sort of, whatever it is at a higher level than just a coincidence, I think.
Right. Right. And Jung referred to it as meaningful coincidence. I mean, what does the word coincidence coincide? Two events that coincide with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we give it meaning. But synchronicities seem to happen, and the person is able to get meaning from it either immediately or at a later time they realize, you know, wow, that particular synchronicity led me to meet my spouse, led me to the perfect job, led me to getting out of my building just as a huge earthquake was about to hit. I mean, people always seem to know when something is a coincidence and when it's a synchronicity because they're able to see the meaning in the one and not in the other.
Yeah, you know, there were stories about one or two people that were supposed to be on those flights that crashed into the World Trade Center. And for whatever reason, at the last minute, they didn't get on the flight.
The people that listened to their intuition, that was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, really. And, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't consider myself to be psychic. But there are times when I have a very strong impression that something really bad is about to happen. And sometime during the day, then, it comes on the news, and it has happened. And I can tell once it happens, because that sort of cloud goes away. We have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, and we'll open the phone lines for your calls right after this. We'll be right back. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And my guests this evening, Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. They are the co-authors of this book. It is called, let's see if I can get it turned right for the camera, for those of you that are watching. It is called 1111, The Time Prompt Phenomenon, The Meaning Behind Mysterious Signs, Sequences, and Synchronicities. And I want to open the telephone lines so that you can call in. And if you have a question or a comment. Now, Marie and Larry, let me ask you this as I put the telephone number on the screen. Let me ask you this, because I saw some indication of this in the book. Some of these synchronicities seem to have to do with what we would call UFOs and or extraterrestrial visitations. What, and the question is, what number of, or what percentage would you say, of the cases that you examined of synchronicities were sort of related to that kind of thing?
Oh, gosh. Not the majority. The majority were people who did not ascribe any kind of paranormal event. They found more personal meaning. But, yeah, there were quite a few. I would say maybe a fifth or a sixth of what we found. And interestingly, since the book has been out and we've been promoting it, we have been bombarded with emails from people. And some of the stories that we're hearing now are just amazing. And, yeah, quite a few of the ones that I've gotten have involved people who have felt that, there was an alien presence in the room. Every now and then you hear someone think that they may have been abducted at that time. That's one of the more sinister stories that we've heard. But, again, the vast majority, I think people found more personal meaning out of it, something that had to do with their life, a specific life path they were mulling over. But there have been some paranormal elements, people seeing ghosts, again, angels, that's a big one. There's actually one whole forum devoted to people who have time prompts and see angels at the same time.
All right, let me give our telephone number for those who, if you can call, if you're on one of those calling plans where you don't have to pay long distance, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Now, if it would be long distance for you, use our toll-free number, please, at 888-223-4599. The toll-free number again, 1-888-223-4599. Synchronicities happen all the time. Weird things happen. Really to all of us. One of the synchronicities, I mean, just deja vu can be synchronicity. Because, you're thinking about a friend, and then all of a sudden the phone rings, and
right,
it's that friend, you know? Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Yeah, Kevin, we've got quite some feedback from you, but let me try to adjust that. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Hello there, Marie, and hello there, Larry.
Hi there.
Hello.
Okay, you guys can hear me all right.
I can.
This show, I'm telling you, when it comes to this number thing, the number clock, it sends chills, because I remember when I was in elementary school, I used, all throughout my school days, every time I'd look up at the clock, only one time out of the entire day I'd actually look up at the clock, and every time I did so, it would say 3:15 p.m. Every time. Elementary and high school. And when, after I got out of high school, it turned to 4:20. And when I looked for answers, I actually looked into numerology to find out what was going on, and even they didn't have any answers. Maybe you guys might have an answer for that.
Well, I would just be curious what time you got out of school, in elementary school. What time? Do you remember what time you got out?
Both in elementary and high school, it was around 3:30.
So I'm just wondering if it was a time when you felt like, I've been here long enough, I need to get out of here, and you just happened to look at the clock, your brain at that particular moment needed to look at the clock and assure yourself that you would be out of class soon. Because interestingly enough, I did the same thing when I was in school. It wasn't 3:15. I don't know what the time was, but I would always look at the clock at the same time every day. But I knew what I was doing. I always thought, I got to get out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. And it's almost like I trained my brain over time to always look up at the clock on the wall at that very same time. And it was like a comforting reminder that, okay, I'm going to be out of here soon. So I don't know if that makes any sense, but if you're unable to find any kind of personal meaning in it, or if numerology hasn't led you to anything, it could just be, like we were talking about earlier, the brain has been trained to create a pattern or take on a habit, and yours happened to be looking at the clock at 3:15. You maybe did it once, you did it twice, you did it three times, and boom, that neural pathway was created in the brain, and it became habitual.
Well, after high school, it switched over from 3:15 to 4:20, and every day since about the time I was 19 years old, every single day, whether it's the morning or whether I've decided to stay up and listen to paranormal radio all night long, and I'll be up at 4:20, and I'd always look at 4:20, and no, I've never smoked marijuana in my life, so that's nothing to do with it.
Oh my gosh, I heard about the 4:20. That's, you're right.
I know.
Yeah. The Gary Garcia 4:20 thing.
But I know people who don't have that connection. No, I've never smoked in my life, so that is not the connection.
Maybe it was telling you should. I don't know.
But
you know, it's just, I mean, we write about in the book, some people, it's their brains. They don't find meaning. They think of it as just an annoyance. Other people are able to find meaning in it. Maybe one day, 3 years from now, it's all going to hit you. Something is going to happen at 3:15 and then at 4:20, and you're going to go, aha, I finally know. I know the answer.
Well, I don't think I'll ever find the answer. You know, I've checked out Glynis McCants and what I've been her site, because I think she's one of the best numerologists in the world, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Glynis McCants' website, and I ran the numbers there, and I'm a number two, by the way, and actually the two actually fits quite well with my life, actually. But no, there was not anything there, because the numbers add up to 9 and 6, so that's obviously not.
But isn't it possible that maybe it's just a way of you being reminded to stay in the present moment, or, you know, pay attention, stay awake, stay alert? I honestly believe that human beings are so bogged in the past and living in the future that we need something to constantly remind us to stay present, stay focused. And it could be something as simple as that, your brain or your consciousness saying, hey, you know, look alert, shape up, pay attention.
Well, let me tell you, I've been doing a little bit of the running the numbers here, Kevin, and actually, both the numbers together come out to 6. So you may be evil.
I'm a 6. Wait a minute,
well,
I'm a 6.
I always knew something was up.
If you add 4:20 up, 4:20 is 6, 3:15, 3:15 is 9, add 9 and 6, you get 15. Add the 5 and the 1, you get a 6.
Yeah, I'm the Antichrist himself, I'm telling you.
Are you the Antichrist?
Oh, I just may be.
Kevin, thanks for the call.
Oh, have a good night, guys.
All right. Oh, that was fun.
It was. I mean, I wish that Larry and I could just say, this is exactly what it is, but we don't know. We just don't know yet.
Well, we may have just spoken to the Antichrist.
He sounded so nice, though.
He is. He's a nice guy. Telephone number is 602-539-9580. 1-602-539-9580. Or if you live in a place where you or your calling plan is such that it would cost you long distance, please feel free to call our toll-free number, 1-888-223-4599. If you live outside of Canada, you live outside the United States, and it would be long distance for you no matter what, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down and you'll see a link that says flash message. It's in green. You can't miss it. Click that and send me a flash message, and we'll read your comment or question on the air. I also want everyone to know, I'm announcing this every night now because it's new. We used to put a text link on the site where, you know, you could click on that and it would take you to our guest website. Now what we do is a little simpler. Just click on the guest picture and it will take you to their site. Okay? Back to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Chris.
Hi. I was noticing as I was dialing the 11 digits to get a hold of you here tonight.
Oh, no.
That, our area code out here is 616, which they just came out with a couple of years ago saying that the whole 666 was actually wrong, and it was like 616. So I might be calling from the devil's area code as well. I'm not quite sure.
You very well could.
How well do you know your neighbors?
Yeah. Out here it can happen. I just had a quick question. As far as the numbers game is going, has anybody done any kind of studies at all about, like, certain events that have taken place that we have time stamps to, or near-death experience kind of things, anything that is a, kind of a significant point for people? Have they been able to track any times on that? And I'll listen off the air for that.
Okay, thanks for the call.
I'm hoping that I understand the question correctly. He wants...
Well, I understand the question, but I'm actually not aware of anything like that. I think it's actually an excellent question. What he's asking, if I'm understanding right, is he's wanting to know if there's been any scientific research that's been done on events that fall within a specific time, area, like, you know, 9/11. Was there any correlation?
Oh, I see. Okay.
That kind of stuff. And, you know, honestly, I'm not aware of anything that's like that, where they've done specific scientific studies, objective scientific studies on, you know, times relating to a specific global event.
Right.
I'm not aware
if
of anything
one
like
time
that.
Might be more popular than the another for particular
right.
catastrophic events that always occur at 12:14, or they occur between 10 and 1, and okay, that's, yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of that either. Interesting.
That's a good
idea. There's our
yeah.
next book, Larry.
definitely, it could be an interesting thing to correlate for sure.
Okay, let me go to some of the flash messages coming in from around the world. And the telephone line is open, folks, so you can call. I'll put you on hold until I finish the flash messages, but that's okay. This flash message from the United Kingdom, Diane writes, please tell Larry that I think he is so cute. Okay. Diane, I'm sure Larry appreciates that. He is married, however.
I've got a UK fan. Oh, how
right.
funny. Well, Diane and UK, thank you very much.
From Rob in Australia. Not sure if this has been asked before. The crop circle on Milk Hill, Alton Barnes, shows a figure 8, which was constructed on the 8th day, 8th month, 2008. Could this be not only watch this space, okay, watch this space, but also these dates, 0909, 2009, 2010. So I think what he's saying is this crop circle appeared in the form of a figure 8. It happened on the 8th day of the 8th month, 2008. Is it possible that what's the message is not only watch this place to see what happens, but watch on these dates, 9909, 10, 10, 10?
It could be, and also the fact that it's a number 8 sounds to me, you know, it's a symbol for infinity if you turn it on its side. And crop circles, we know, are symbols. They speak to us on a sort of archetypal level, the level of the subconscious. And the funny thing is there's a movie coming out in a couple of months with Nicolas Cage called Knowing, and the whole movie is about catastrophic events that he predicts when he finds a document that is nothing but numbers, and they look very random.
Mm-hmm.
He's able to find patterns in the numbers that lead to very specific dates that natural disasters and terrorist events occur. And we could be getting signs all the time from crop circles, from time prompts, you name it. The problem is, how do we know how to interpret them? Because if 10 different people could look at that crop circle and come up with 10 different interpretations. So that's where it becomes very difficult to try to discern, are we being told A, are we being told B, or maybe it's something completely different.
Yeah. The same thing is true with Bible codes.
Oh, exactly.
Here's one from Andrew in Australia. It says, some more info for the number 11. On September 11th, 1990, George Bush Sr. gave an address to the nation and said they have a new idea, a new world order. 11 years later, we know what happened. How can you tell me that's coincidence? Okay.
I don't know that I buy into every conspiracy, yeah. But again, if it happens often enough, you start to take notice. I heard the other day from someone that believed that 9/11, the terrorist attack, was something from a higher order that was created to challenge us as a species, and not necessarily the simple terrorist event that we thought it was.
Could be. It certainly has been challenging.
It has. Go ahead, Larry.
Marie, I'm wondering if I need to go search around for my custom-designed tinfoil hat.
Again, where there's smoke, there's fire. So if you were to see 20 different coincidences to one event, you might start thinking there's something
sure.
to it. Larry and I are both healthy skeptics. We're open-minded, but you have to give us an awful lot before we will really accept something. And
yeah.
So if there were a whole bunch of coincidences, then it wouldn't be coincidence.
A lot of the political things that we see like that seem to be just one-offs. It doesn't seem like there's any reproducibility or repeatability of it. So, yeah, I don't know if I take much stock in a lot of those.
Lincoln Kennedy assassinations. Now, that's pretty wild. I mean, there's so many...
Yeah.
coincidental events with those two assassinations, and we listed them in the book, and we probably didn't list all of them, but yeah, it's got to be something that happens just more than once or twice in order to really get people to take notice.
Well, and a lot of times when you start looking at this is a Kevinistic rather than synchronistic theory. But you start looking at world events, you have to look at world events on a much broader time scale, because little bitty tiny things happen and react to each other very quickly, like mosquitoes.
Right.
But elephants move slower. They're bigger. Mm-hmm. And so a world event can happen and be related to another world event that doesn't take place maybe for a year, 2 years, 10 years,
right,
but is linked. And I think it makes it much more difficult then to see a pattern.
Right, you'd have to go way back in time to get that pattern.
But I think if synchronicity is a reality, it is a reality as well in world events. But it happens on such a much larger playing board, a much larger time scale, that it's very difficult for us little gnats to see it.
Right, and for our brains to wrap ourselves around it and understand. And maybe it'll take another 10 years for us to look back on 9/11 and see the synchronicity that occurred there and what it led to. I think we might still be in the process of what it is going to lead to.
Well, and one real good example, and people, it astounds me how many people simply have no sense of history whatsoever. But they can't understand Well, you know, for instance, this thing that went on in Bosnia and then Kosovo, and, you know, and they say, well, you know, what is it? Why can't those people get along? They don't understand. That conflict started in 1389.
We don't learn from history. That's why we keep repeating it.
Yeah, and, you know, it isn't over, and it's not over now. Just because they're not fighting today doesn't mean that it's over.
Exactly.
And the same thing is true if you get into the Asian countries. You know, those countries have been conquering each other for centuries, and their animosities run deep and run centuries long. And so there, because of that, there is linkage in events that happen today with events that happened three centuries ago.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I think everything is linked. I think that just as we think we have a personal destiny, it could be entirely true that there is a global destiny.
It may be galactic.
On a course to its own destiny, its own destination.
Well, yeah, and there may be galactic destiny as well. I mean, what we're really saying here is that there is some sort of intelligent consciousness running things.
It seems. It seems.
Oh, what do you think? I would say it seems so, but would you? What does Marie D. Jones and what does Larry Flaxman say? Is there or is there not some sort of intelligent consciousness running things?
I absolutely think there is a master architect who has created a master blueprint, but I don't think it is, we love to make this sort of a human figure sitting up there with a big white beard. I don't think that at all. I think that there is a force. It is a creative force. It has intelligence. It has consciousness, but not necessarily in the sense that we humans are familiar with. That's probably why it's so hard to understand the concept of God. You know, we use the word God, but I think everybody has a different idea of what that is. It's so hard to verbalize something that we can't even really relate to on our little human level.
I was, when I was in college, I was reading, I just cannot remember now, some philosopher, and it was philosophy, but he was dealing with that concept. And he made the statement, if you can define or explain God, you've proven the non-existence of God.
Hmm. Yeah, that speaks to the inadequacy of language and how as soon as you think you can explain something, you've taken away its essence, its mystery. Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, it is. All right, why don't we do this? Let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Yep.
Someone who didn't want to be on the radio. Okay, that's all right. The telephone is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Or toll free at 1-888-223-4599. And we'll take more of your calls when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guests, Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman. We're talking about the synchronicity in numbers, things, time prompts, things that keep occurring at the, you know, people will have something significant happen at a time, and then some time passes, and then they have another significant event at the same time. And then another significant event at the same time. And the question then is, so what is this? Now, you mentioned, before I pose the question, The telephone line, folks, is open, 602-539-9580, and the toll-free number, 1-888-223-4599. 1-888-223-4599. Let's go to the phone line and take this call, and then I'll pose the question. It's about the Kabbalah. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Caller, you're live on the air. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
I'm Doc from Arkansas.
Hi, Doc.
Hey.
I have a question
for you. A fellow Arkansan.
And Larry's in Arkansas.
Yeah, fellow Arkansan.
I'm up here in Harrison, Arkansas.
Oh, you're in Harrison, okay.
Well, my question is, it seems like I've been listening to the show and everything, and I've sat back and realized about the time thing. I was wondering, what is the bigger, you know, the significance of the time? Because, like, my father passed away, it's over 9 years ago, and he passed away exactly at 12:45 in the afternoon. Now, 69 days later, his brother passed away at 12:45.
Oh, my God.
And because his neighbor went over to the house to have lunch, and it was 12:45, he passed away sitting in his chair in the kitchen. And so, I mean, it's just, you know, I was very amazed, I mean, because it seems like our family, when somebody passes away, it goes in twos.
That's, yeah, I mean, that is fascinating, and I don't have an explanation for it other than at 12:45, I would be very, very frightened. But, I don't know. There are things that happen that we just can't explain. There's some kind of higher order that we just don't understand, and that's really unusual. And
let me ask you this.
That, believe it or not.
Let me ask you this. Was your dad a religious person?
No, he was raised Catholic. After a while, he never made none of us go to church. He just, you know, that's it. And,
mm-hmm.
You know,
what about the neighbor?
Say, sir?
What about the other one who passed away at 12:45?
No,
religious?
He never was either.
Huh.
That is really intriguing.
It is.
You have to wonder if there's some kind of trigger in families, a genetic trigger that... Because I did hear another story a couple of days ago of someone who said that a mother and her sister, her aunt, you know, the woman's aunt, so the mother and the mother's sister both died at the same time. Not the same year, but the same exact time. So it does seem to happen.
With they had seven kids, and his other two brothers passed away within 60 to 90 days apart, too. I could never find out their death certificate when their times were.
Right.
It was the same day. It was the same day of just different months.
Right. It just sounds like there's some kind of unseen, maybe genetic link with families. But, it may not be genetic. It may just be something very mysterious that we don't really understand that links family members.
All right. Thanks for the call. Very interesting. The telephone line is open, folks, 602-539-9580 or toll-free at 888-223-4599. Let's talk about the Kabbalah for a moment. What did you find when you looked in the Kabbalah about these time prompts?
You know, we looked at the Kabbalah more it's a divination system. Gematria is a numerological system, not necessarily involved with time prompts, but just the book is really about more than just numbers as time prompts. It's about the profound nature of numbers in general.
Mm-hmm.
And we had no idea that this was going to be the case when we started writing it. We always thought numbers and math were really boring. But we realized that there are all kinds of sacred geometry, numerology, religion and science and nature, and everything is number-based. Music. So the book really gets into a lot more than just time prompts, just to let listeners know. But again, in the Kabbalah, we're matching up numbers with patterns. We're using a form of numerology to divine the future. It all comes down to trying to find hidden meanings behind numbers and the patterns that they form.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Tim from Rogers, Arkansas.
Hi, Tim.
Oh, my gosh.
Another Arkansan. Wow, what synchronicity.
Three now.
Three? Really? My goodness. Hello?
Yes, we're waiting.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, my question was, okay, I probably had several questions, but what I was wondering was, what percentage of synchronicitous happenings, you know, such as in your daily life and events, you know, things that will guide you, whatever your clue may be to guide you on your synchronicitous path, what percentage would we be able to say that is a true, profound, maybe spiritual weight, you know, like a map, or is it like just something that your mind seems to focus on, like you said, the thing about the red car, or, you know, daytime driving lights. You never notice cars. Now you notice all these cars with daytime lights. So,
well,
what I
think,
how do we filter that out? Maybe even two would go with that.
Well, I think as Marie had alluded to before, I'm not so sure that there actually is a definitive answer to that. I'm not sure that we can actually objectively say, you know, X percentage of the time is a legitimate phenomena, you know, and then you can discard the rest. I'm not so sure that you can actually do that. To my line of thought, I would say that you probably should probably be aware at least of all of those experiences that you're having. Maybe, you know, maybe not so much think in terms of, well, this percent is legitimate, this percent is not, but, you know, look at the totality of the situation and the circumstance and look at, you know, everything
as a total
is having
experience.
A possible meaning.
Well, yeah, and you apply the meaning to it, so you will know personally which of those experiences are trivial and just fun, you know, that you notice, oh, that's funny, and which really have a more profound meaning for you. So I think that answer, it's impossible to say because it's going to be different for each individual. Maybe 10% of your synchronicities are going to be trivial and the other 90% will be profound, but for me it could be 50-50 or 60-40.
Okay.
So you put the meaning to them.
Excuse me?
You apply the meaning to them. So you're the one
Correct.
That will be, you're the only person that can say, this is really important to me and this is not. The problem is you've got to pay attention to all of them because you're not going to know until you actually have the experience of the synchronicity, whether or not it's meaningful.
Is synchronicity, does it a lot of times it have a spiritual connection, such as, you know, your soul or who you are, where you're going,
where you've been? Sure, I can speak from personal experience and say that I've had some really strong synchronistic experiences that have led me to different points in my life that I absolutely needed to be at and didn't really at the time know how to get to. I honestly think synchronicity led me to partner with Larry on writing books and becoming business partners. I think that some of them can have a very profound spiritual meaning. Some of them can have a very profound practical meaning, like people who have a synchronistic event. They step into an elevator. They've been unemployed for 3 years, and the guy in the elevator is hiring, and boom, they have a job. I mean, you know, they all have different meanings, but they're all important in the scheme of your whole life.
True.
Does
Absolutely.
That make sense?
I believe that too.
Did you have another question or a comment?
Okay. Just give me 2 seconds. Okay. Now, is it okay to say that there are many events that may be synchronicitous, such as it could be the names of the streets that where you happen by chance to move to, as well as like deja vu, you were saying you might have been here before, okay? Oh, and does it also go to like, I've noticed like music can also point you, you know, is that a valid thing? Like you've heard a song for, you know, your whole life, then all of a sudden one day it's become because you see the true meaning of it. And also, is synchronicity, does it come with like serendipity, kind of like sudden insight, like maybe now all of a sudden like these things will fit together for you, it becomes synchronous
the clue with the answer together.
I think sometimes when you have a synchronicity, you know right away that it's a really cool experience. But I've had some synchronicities where it didn't really hit me until later. The meaning didn't come until later. So it can happen either way. But the thing is that we can't drive ourselves insane looking at every single little thing that happens throughout our day and trying to match it up synchronistically with something else. I think we would go a little crazy. But I think in our gut and our instinct and our intuition, whatever you want to call it, we know when those things are happening. And they probably are not happening 24/7. So it's just a matter of being alert to them when they do happen.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. We have a flash message from Australia. And Larry, I don't know what to say. I'll just read it. This is from Joni in Australia. She says, "Wow, I also think Larry is a doll. Please pass on my regards."
Kevin, I love you. Can I be back on your show again?
Absolutely. This one is from Australia. Australia.
Australia, wow. Mm-hmm.
So you got a fan in the UK and one in Australia.
That is funny.
All right, the telephone number is 1-602-539-9580 or toll-free at 1-888-223-4599. All right. I have to say, you know, this is the first time I've gotten flash messages like that.
You mean Larry's the only cute guest you've ever had on?
Well, the only one anybody admitted was cute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not that I have anything wrong with those of alternate beliefs, but I'm just thankful that it's coming from females.
Well, I'm not really sure if that was Joni or if that was Jim. No, it was Joni. It was Joni. All right.
Thank you very much.
You know, I've noticed all my life that when something really big and bad happens and it's in the news, we get, you just hang on. There's two more coming within the next day or so.
Right. And celebrities always die within threes.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. It seems like it always happens in threes. Someone just tried to call in and didn't make it. They got disconnected. I didn't do it, so give us another try. 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. So what is up with the celebrities dying in threes? We have to wait till after the break to find out. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. We'll be on Final Approach, but I'll still take your telephone calls after this next break. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach. We only have a few minutes left in the show, but I do have time to take one or two calls, depending on how long those calls are. But the telephone number is 602-539-9580. 1-602-539-9580, or if it would be a long distance charge for you, use our toll free number at 1-888-223-4599. Just before we went to break, I was about to ask, you know, what's the deal with this with celebrities all dying in threes? And I mean, that's been going on my whole life, so I would say, you know, that's probably, there's something to that. What's the deal?
You know, it's funny, though, because my mom and I are really big on that. Every time a celebrity dies, we start watching the news to see who the next two are going to be. But the funny thing is what happens is we stop paying attention mm-hmm. when the next day they tell you the fourth celebrity that died. We just sort of shut our brains off to that. So I'm wondering if that's a little bit of a pattern that we've created, that it's sort of confirmation bias. We want to believe that celebrities die in three because it's such a cool urban legend. So we ignore the news when it says later on that week or that month that a fourth or fifth celebrity have died.
Well, it happens with plane crashes. A plane goes down, and within the next week or so, two more are down. And then it'll be months before there's...
You've got to wonder if the pilots of the plane heard about the first crash and maybe they're a little extra anxious and aren't flying as well. Or then again, everything may, as Pythagoras said, it all may be number. All is number. Everything may be following a numeric blueprint that none of us can see.
You know, everything really is numbers. The reason the molecules of your body hold together and make you what you are has to do with relationships of numbers
right.
and frequencies of atoms and why they stick together. Change that and you dissolve.
Right.
The same thing is true of music, you mentioned. Music is all mathematics.
Exactly.
And I know there are people who think that, well, that can't be true, but it is true. Because when you hear a note...
Everything is built on numbers. I mean, our whole structure is built on the binary system. I mean, zeros and ones. It's everything, whether it's, you know, at the atomic level, the subatomic level, the quantum level. You know, zeros and ones, that's what everything is. Numbers are definitely pervasive.
Yeah, and, you know, if you change the number in anything, you've changed it. And the easiest way, I was talking about music, the easiest way to notice that, change the number of vibrations per second of any note, and you've changed it to another note.
Right, exactly.
All right, let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Steve calling from Anaheim, California.
Okay, Steve, I'm going to turn your volume up.
Hey, just wanted to comment real quickly. I think there's a movie coming out about that, about the numbers and things happening in numbers.
Right, with Nicolas Cage.
Right, right. It looked a little strange.
Really gloom and doom and apocalyptic, but I'll go see it.
Yeah. As far as the things happening in threes, I'm in my 40s, and I noticed that when I was a teenager, and my sister did too. We used to always watch the news for the, you know, celebrities, who's going to be next. So the plane crashes, yeah, I noticed that too. But I think, you know, these planes that go so long without a crash, and all of a sudden you hear about one, and you hear another one. But they're not always the same. They're not the same type jet. They're not the same airline, you know.
Yeah, but you one goes down, and within another week or two, there's two more down, and then it's months before you hear about any more.
Yeah, we had that in California. A lot of these guys fly these little planes. The Cessnas, I think, Kevin, you know about those type planes.
Oh, yeah. Cessna 150s, 152s. You can fly those with the doors.
Hey, we have fighter jets going down in our neighborhoods. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, the celebrity thing, I don't know. I'm going to see if there's something out there. Anybody who's done like a research over the last 50, 60 years of celebrities, the patterns that their deaths have created, I'd really be interested to see.
Yeah, I always thought that was really strange when I was growing up as a teenager. I said, hey, it can't be. And then another one, and another one, and another one.
Yep. It's like you're waiting. See, how sick are we? We would be waiting for that third person to drop dead just to make that urban legend true.
Well, maybe we do program ourselves. And we.
You know, maybe we're the ones that are doing all this.
Yeah.
Could be.
But I caught part of the show. Good show, guys. Kevin, nice to talk to you again, as always.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thanks.
Yeah, we really don't have time to get in another call, but it's been a fascinating 2 hours. You know, I was wondering about this because now we were talking about consciousness, and there is a theory of that although consciousness pervades everything, we are not separate from it, and therefore when we think, we add to the content of the consciousness. And so it could be then, and people say then, well, because we think, we change things. And of course, at the quantum level, they say once you observe it, you've changed it.
Right.
Okay, and Dr. Emoto's experiments with water crystals indicates that when you think a certain way, it causes the crystals to have one appearance, and you think another way, it causes them to have a completely different appearance.
Right.
So that being the case, maybe what happens is a plane goes down or a celebrity dies, and we all start thinking about it, and we cause the next one or two.
I think that that's a possibility. The power of our thought, our collective intention.
Yep.
Certainly we are affecting things on the implicate level just as we are on the explicate level.
All right. Let's see. We've got another flash message or two here to get to.
Oh, no.
Yep.
I'm about living. Come on.
Well, this one is Bob. this is Bob. Well, he's from the United States. I don't read those, but he didn't think you were cute.
Good.
Darn.
Steve from Australia says, 20 years ago, my uncle thought he was losing his mind because he kept seeing 11-11 everywhere.
Oh, nope. He's not crazy. Not at all. It happens to so many people.
All right. Let's see what we've got now. He never worked out what was happening, but only recently he spoke to me about it, saying that it's happening again. And he said, rest assured, I will direct him to your book, 11-11. And
I
that's,
hope it helps him understand
great.
A little bit
yeah.
more. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, we're just about out of time. I want to thank both of you for being with us this evening. It's been fascinating.
It has. Thank you.
It definitely.
And if you will, stay on the line with me and as I close the show, because I want to talk with you for just a moment after the show.
Okay.
All right. Marie D. Jones and Larry Flaxman, folks, there you go. Let me remind you that the name of the book is 11-11, The Time Prompt Phenomenon. It's really mind-bending, fascinating reading, lots of good stuff in here. So check that out. Let me also remind you that the music you hear on this show always comes from independent artists. And some of them send me their music, and then a lot of it we get from GarageBand.com or Music.Podshow.com. So you can go over to those websites and just fill your iPod with great music. There's a lot of it over there. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.